We're still in this series called From Strength to Strength. As we grow in Christ, I pray that every week as we come, we will be taking heed to some of these things that we are learning. And one of the things I believe very much, many of the things that I am saying, people probably know. But you know, the difference is that we're actually putting it into practice. Okay, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Let's stand, all right? Just read one verse, and we'll pray. And then after that, we'll go into the message. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ready? Let's read together. Ready? One, two, begin. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come into your presence, Lord, to understand your word. We pray, Lord, you will speak to all of our hearts and our souls. For those who are tired and those who physically, Father, are not able to, are just tired, I pray, Lord, you will strengthen the person. And I pray that the word of God will be your special meaning tonight. That, Lord, in this area of prayer, many of us have probably heard many, many passages or many, many messages about prayer. But Lord, it's not about learning about prayer, but actually praying. And Lord, we pray that tonight we will renew our vigor, renew our devotion, Lord, to the whole office of prayer that you have given to us. Not as a tool just for our edification, but Father, upon the commandment of your word for us to pray. So Lord, we ask you to help us, even at this short time before the Lord's Supper, to understand what you want us to do in prayer. Well, thank you, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated. Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, you realize from verse 10 to verse 17, Paul had just talked about the armor of God, right? The armor of God. And the armor of God has been expounded, but at the end of the seven verses on the armor of God, Paul put specifically verse 18 there, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Paul inserts this vital part for victory in the Christian life. I mean, all of us would want victory in our Christian life. And sometimes when we pray, I just want to make it a little bit more personal. When was the last time that God actually answered our prayer? And something that we need to, not just answering prayer just for ourselves, but remember, prayer is essentially God's instrument for us to also be blessing other people as well. Okay, many years ago, I've shared this before, but there was this sister whose dad was dying of cancer. Okay, there was this many years ago, and when I was a young adult. So at that time, we were just talking about how he was a hardened man and he didn't want to follow Christ, and he was just very, very tough in his own thinking. So something just cropped up in my mind. We were just seated in our house, not in this one, the previous one we lived in, and said, I think we need to fast and pray. Okay, and so we started that. Some of us started praying and fasting over that. And the sister actually related to us what actually happened. And apparently she was keeping vigil in the hospital. The father was in bed, in the hospital bed. And she was just keeping vigil there and just reading her Bible and just reading certain things there. And all of a sudden, the dad stood up and asked her, how do I become a Christian? It's like all of a sudden. And she was sharing that it took her by surprise. But of course, when someone asks you how to be a Christian, immediately, especially if it's your dad, so she was able to immediately share the gospel. And upon what she said, the dad actually trusted Christ, okay? 2 days before he passed away. And so, we see even in that, God loves the people, but not people need to pray, okay? Prayer is an important part of the Christian life, okay? To a Christian soldier, you know, just this idea of soldiers who go off to war, real soldiers who go off to war, would pray for safety, would pray for hoping that they'll come back alive and hoping that everything will be fine. But you know, for the Christian soldier, prayer is indispensable. All right, that's your first point there in the introduction. Prayer is indispensable. The word indispensable means you can do without you cannot do without prayer. As a Christian, you cannot do without prayer. Prayer is as breathing to a Christian. You know, you've often heard that before. But sometimes, it's interesting, when you're younger, you don't take this to heart. When you grow older, you begin to realize that things you've learned many years ago are actually very, very, very important. Simple things like praying. And if you look at prayer crowns our efforts, it gives victory. And it, as I was preparing this, it's important. Prayer gives victory when nothing else would. Prayer will give you victory when nothing else can work. Okay? No matter how complete our armor is, no matter how skillful we are, no matter how courageous we may be, all these are important factors. We may be certain that without prayer, we will be defeated. Let's turn to Exodus 17, okay? Exodus 17, I've taught on this before. But Exodus 17, verse 10. Now just read this passage, I think we've read it before, and just let the hearing of God's word encourage us. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. But when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. When Moses held up his hand in prayer that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. When the hands of prayer are lifted up, Joshua was winning the battle, but when prayer ceased, Amalek prevailed. You know, this is a very telling episode in the entire scriptures about what God wants to teach us about prayer. Without prayer, there is no victory. All the things we can do in Ambassador, in our own life, even in our own evangelism, it will come to be zero if we don't actually pray. Okay, that's very important. God alone gives the victory. We must, as a Christian, we need to understand that. There is nothing that we can try or do or think that will ever bring victory. Only God. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. Okay, Proverbs 21 and verse 31. Just to anchor that thought for us. Proverbs 21, 31. Let's read together. Okay, let's read together. Ready? Proverbs 21 and verse 31. Ready? 1, 2, go. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. But safety is of the Lord. Horses are prepared against the day of battle. That simply means that when you go to battle, all the soldiers are ready, all the horses are ready, we are ready to go out. But Solomon is very clear. As a king, he would know that. As much as I can prepare all my armies to fight, safety of my men actually coming back, of me actually winning the war, is of God. Is of God. Remember Joshua, when he was supposed to fight Jericho, and he depended on God, what happened? The walls of Jericho fell down. But when he went to Ai, the next one, which is a smaller city, apparently they didn't seek God. What happened? Oh, sorry, there was sin in the camp. He went in, what happened? Fell. Couldn't overcome, and Joshua was stunned because there was sin in the camp. God alone can give us the victory. So looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, just want to highlight six things within that particular verse. How are we to pray so that we can win? Let me ask you before we even go into this, are there one area in your life that you know you absolutely need God to intervene in? Is there something that you know in your life, in your spiritual life, in your spiritual service, in your family, in your work, in whatever, that is actually a crossroad, is a hindrance, is a stop? How do we pray in order to win? Number one, the Bible says in Ephesians 6 and verse 18, praying always. We are to pray. We are to pray always. We are to pray always. Prayer is not to be intermittent. Prayer is not to be as and when I feel like it, I'll pray. It's to be always, to be in the spirit of prayer. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. We have to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you close your eyes everywhere you walk, all right? But it does mean that in your heart, as you are walking, you know, many times maybe in the ministry or in certain situations that crop up, every time as you are walking to the bus stop, as you are brushing your teeth, as you are maybe having to do something, as you are cooking, whatever, I've always have in my mind, always on that case, and telling God, you know this, you know that, you know this, you know that, always in that spirit of praying. That's what it means to be praying always. It is always, in every temptation, in every spiritual conflict, in every good things that God gave to us, in every situation when you wake up, when we need to be in the spirit of prayer. We have to pray always, number one. Number two, we have to pray. I think my English are over the place. We have to pray. And this is a big word, but I think it reflects the next part of the verse. We have to pray opportunistically. Opportunisticall. Opportunistic means in every opportunity. Well, how do I get that? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer. The idea there is all kinds of prayer, all varieties of prayer. And always in every opportunity you get to pray, you pray. We are to pray with all kinds. Praying in the closet, secret prayer. Prayer in the family. Have you ever been caught unawares? Hey, come, let's pray. I had a friend, his name is Timothy Low. Not your brother, another Timothy Low. And he is an encouragement, you know. There was one time in JC, something happened, and he would just run down and say, Johnny, let's pray. Grab me, and just say, okay, let's pray. You know, everything that happens, let's pray. everything that, any crisis, let's pray. Just grab me and pray. Would we do that? You know, for us, we need to think prayer. Everything that happens, grab someone, go to this corner, pray. You may not need to tell, just pray. And sometimes say, what happened? I don't know, let's pray, you know. Because it was a dependency on God. With all kinds of prayer. Prayer in the closet, prayer in the family, prayer in a meeting like this, in the assembly of the church, prayer usually when you pray, prayer when you are specially tempted. In Matthew 6, verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, at the time that you pray, when you feel that there's a need to pray, at every opportunity, prayer in the form of praying for ourselves, supplication, in the form of interceding for others. I wonder how often do we pray? The Bible says here, Ephesians 6, 18, we are to pray always with all prayer, all kinds of prayer, together with friends, alone, when you need to, when you don't need to. In fact, can I say this? It's a very important principle of the Christian life. When you don't feel like praying, that's the time you need to force yourself to pray. I say that again. When you don't feel like praying because of a crisis, because of trouble, say, I don't care about God, that's the time you need to force yourself, go down on your knees, say, God, I don't feel like praying, but I know I must pray. Prayer goes against the human nature. You know why? Because the human nature don't see a need for God. But that's when you know, sometimes when you go get into trouble or you feel that you're very angry, you say, I don't feel like praying. You know, how many of you have actually gone through that kind of stage? At that time, that's the most important time that you need to pray. I say that again. It will definitely happen to you in the next 1 month. I think. When something hits you and you don't feel like praying, Christians, but Johnny, I feel like a hypocrite if I pray. You know, last time when people tell me that, I was thinking, yeah, that's true. I don't feel like praying, but I'm praying. Then I realized, you're not being hypocritical. You're just being obedient. Just like you're supposed to do your homework, right? You don't feel like doing right, but you go ahead and do. Why? Are you being a hypocrite? No. You're doing the right thing. Can I say that? Does it make sense? A lot of people have this excuse. I believe it's an excuse. I don't feel like praying. So I don't pray. If you don't pray, you're disobedient. Being disobedient. You know, at the time that you feel least led to pray, remember, that's the time that you have to pray. Because the more you go by your flesh of not wanting to pray and not wanting to do anything and not, you know what, the devil's trying to pull you further and further away from what you know to be right. Okay? The Bible says we have to pray in every opportunity. And then number three, there's a little point that restraining prayer, we cease to fight. In other words, if you stop praying, we stop fighting. Prayer makes the Christian armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the meanest saint or the weakest saint upon his knees. Okay, hopefully we will understand that. Okay, point number three, we are to pray in the Spirit. We are to pray in the Spirit. Praying always with our prayer and supplication in the Holy Spirit of God. All prayer of a Christian must be by the Holy Spirit. If we pray in the flesh, God cannot hear us. Okay? In the Spirit means with the help of the Holy Spirit. And in this situation, what Paul intends to teach is when we pray, and this is very important, God is not interested in the words we use to pray. God is not interested in the form of prayer. I know in some churches they have what's called a book of prayers. In certain, I'm not saying you cannot use those prayers, especially I know of very old people and they don't know how to pray. I actually write down the prayer for them. Okay. However, it became a ritualistic prayer as a result. What Paul wanted to highlight here is this. Paul wanted to teach those people the difference between praying as a ritual. How many of you, when you give thanks for food, always say the same thing? And I need to remind myself every day. Well, it's always, you give thanks, you always say the same thing. You know. Of course, on the other hand, some people pray for China, pray for different countries of the world, and your giving thanks for food becomes a prayer meeting of half an hour. All right, there's a place for everything. But you know what? God wants us to pray with the heart. God wants us to pray with the heart. And here Paul is saying, when you pray, God wants us to reflect on the fact that when we pray, it's from the heart. That's why I pray in the Holy Spirit. There seem to be two levels of meaning here. Praying with the help of God's Spirit, but praying sincerely. With the heart. And put a quote in there. In prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. You know, some people can pray long. Some people can pray loud. There was one particular doctor, I can't remember if it's a doctor or a pastor. He was at a hospital and they believe in those casting out demons and things like that. Okay? Because the person was sick, so he needed to cast out the spirit of cancer and all that kind of thing. And so as they were praying in the hospital, this wife, I think it was the wife or the sister, and this author I was reading the book, he's saying, this lady began to pray louder and louder in the name of Jesus, cast out demons. This author was saying that this lady began to escalate, began to get louder and louder and louder and louder because, and this author was writing down that it was pretty obvious she was losing it. There was no more faith. She thinking by shouting a lot, by saying a lot, that God was somehow here. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? And sometimes we think that just because we pray a lot, or say a lot, or do a lot, God hears. You know, God just wants us to do it from the heart. And that's why when we pray in the Spirit, it's a very important principle. Depending on the Holy... How do we pray in the Holy Spirit? Number one, we must have a life of obedience to Christ. Galatians 5:16, we must be obedient to Him. How do we pray in the Holy Spirit? We are to be obedient to Him. Galatians 5:16 says what? Walk in the Spirit. Live your life in the Spirit. Then you will understand what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Okay? Walk in line with the Spirit. And so when you pray, you would want to pray what God prays. We are to be obedient to Him, number one. Number two, we are to depend on Him. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. Romans 8 and verse 26. The Bible says, likewise, in the same way, the Holy Spirit of God also helpeth our infirmities, helpeth our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. The word ought there is very important. In other words, in every situation in which we pray, God actually has a way. God actually has His will in that situation that we pray according to what God wants us to pray. Does it make sense? The Bible says there, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, as we ought to pray. In every situation, there's a correct way of praying. Did you know that? In every time when we pray, there is a correct way of praying. The correct way is how the Holy Spirit leads us in our prayer. We must be therefore dependent on Him. We must be dependent on Him. Okay? And number three, we must believe when we pray. No use praying when you don't believe. How many of you have ever said this before? I hope not. After praying for something in your heart, you say, actually, I don't think it will happen. Or, yeah, you can pray for him, but you know, probably he won't get saved. You know what? The moment you pray like that, you might as well not pray. God says you don't even believe. You don't even believe. Okay? So, we need to pray believing. We need to pray believing. Okay? Point number four, going back to Ephesians 6 and verse 18, we are to pray in the Spirit. And number four, we are to pray by watching. Okay, by watching. Watching what? In Ephesians 6:18, the Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto. Watching what? What are we to watch? We are to watch for opportunities to pray. We are to watch against all those things that will hinder prayer. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. I think this is a very important point. And I think in Singapore, there are many things we need to watch out for that will stop us from praying. Okay? Or coming for prayer. In Matthew 26, verse 38. Matthew 26 and verse 38. This is the Garden of Gethsemane scene. The Bible says in verse 26, 38. Let's read there. Ready? 1, 2, go. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Okay, what did Jesus tell the disciples to do? Jesus was going through a crisis. He says, tarry ye here and watch with me. Watch with me. The word watch means to keep watch, be alert. Be alert with me. What happened to the disciples? In verse 39, you realize that Jesus went further to pray, right? But what happened to the disciples? The Bible says, he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. Do you realize, I'm as guilty, I believe, as all of us. Do you realize prayer is spiritual work? Just because we pray long doesn't mean we pray effectively. Prayer is spiritual, but God wants us to pray with our heart, with the help of the Holy Spirit. But God wants us to pray by watching, because we need to realize when we pray, how many of you pray, and then suddenly songs come into your head, and you get distracted, and the movie that you just watched last night came into your head again, and you know why? Because the devil does all he can to distract you from prayer. And humanly, we distract ourselves from prayer as well. Humanly, we distract ourselves from prayer. We need to pray watching. Watching against all those things that would hinder prayer. In Matthew 26, verse 41, Jesus says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many of you will say amen to that? We want to do the right thing, but we have no strength. What do? Watch, be alert, and pray. That's what we need to pray watching. Okay, in 1 Peter 4, 7, by the end of all things is at hand, be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Okay, point number five, we are to pray with all perseverance. That's what Ephesians 6, 18 says. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. We are to pray without becoming discouraged. And I was at church, we need to keep on praying. We need to pray for the new place. It's there, but we still cannot get in yet. There seems to be hindrance at every point. Ever since the key has come into our hands, you may not know it, but there's been hindrance at every point. Every point. Okay? But I hope you're not discouraged, because I'm not in charge anyway. God is. But my job is to pray as a soldier of Christ, to keep praying. Lord, what is your will? And don't be disheartened. We need to pray with perseverance. Let's turn to the book of Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. Here's a very important passage on persevering in prayer. Luke 18 is a parable that Jesus taught And I'll just read this parable for us to listen to. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, for this purpose. This parable is for this purpose, to this end. What's the end? What's the purpose? That men ought always to pray, not to faint, not to give up. Saying, there was a city, where was in the city a judge, we feared not God, neither regarded men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by my continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, here, listen to what the unjust judge said. Jesus says that there was this unjust judge who don't want to give what the widow wants, but she keep on coming, she keep on coming. Avenge me, to the point the judge said, I don't care for this widow, but you know what? It's really driving me nuts. All I need to do to get rid of her is to give her what she wants. And then Jesus says, listen to what the unjust judge said. Pay attention to that. What he's saying, if an unjust judge with no vested interest in the case would give a widow just to get her out of his sight, in verse number 7, shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long unto them? Based on this verse, if God lays on your heart to pray for someone's salvation, you keep banging on the doors of heaven until you get the answer. That's what Jesus is saying. You know why sometimes we don't get the answer we want at the time we want it? Of course, we always have to submit to the will of God, which is right. But Jesus is saying, look, if you would pound the doors of heaven for your loved one's salvation, God says He will hear. For two reasons. One, it is not His will that any should perish. So you are praying in God's will. And number two, God says in this particular passage, shall not, in the rhetoric, God avenge His own. When you pray in the will of God, persevering in prayer, you will receive the answer. With all confidence in the authority of God's word, that's what our Savior tells us. Okay? Verse 8, I will tell you that He will avenge them speedily, but you know what is the problem? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find that kind of faith on the earth? The last part is what Jesus is trying to point out to His disciples. There's not going to be many people persevering in prayer when I come. You know why one of the attributes of an ambassador in Ambassador Baptist Church is that we be a praying church? Because by God's grace, we will say, Lord, You said this, we didn't fulfill that. We are still having faith. We are still persevering in prayer at Your coming. Does that make sense? Are you praying for something important like someone's salvation? How often do you pray for it? How persevering are you praying? God wants us to pray with all perseverance, never to be disheartened, never to be discouraged. And finally, we are to pray for all saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, for all Christians. Five reasons why we need to pray for all Christians. Number one, because all the saints are our Christian brethren. Okay, we're all brethren, so we need to pray for one another. Number two, because like us, all Christians have hearts prone to evil and sin and need, like us, the grace of God. We pray for one another because we need God's grace on a daily basis. We need God's grace on a daily basis. Number three, because the more we pray for them, did you know that the more we pray for a person, the more you love them? My pastor in Australia taught me this principle. If you ever hate someone, if you ever feel that you cannot stand that person, you know what you need to do? Pray for that person. Pray for the person. And no matter how much you hate him, pray for him. Pray that God will bless him. Pray that God will lift him up. Pray that God will help him in his whatever that he's going through. Pray for him. And the more you pray for him, you realize, actually, I don't hate him anymore. I actually love him. Okay? Okay? Pray. Because nothing makes us love a person more and forget about their faults but to pray for them. When you pray for them, you're actually saying, God, I don't care what he's done, I'm praying for him. I'm praying that you bless him. Don't pray. I know some people are saying, no, I'm praying for him, God, you curse him and make him fall down and fracture his head. Whatever. Don't let that. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, you cannot pray that. Amen? Because God is a God of love. And when we pray, pray in love. Point number four, in we are to pray for all saints. Because as a church, we need the grace of God. We need to pray for all saints within the church. Because we all need God's grace. I just read what I have here. Many Christians are backslidden. Many are cold and lukewarm. Many are in error. Many are conformed to this world. And we should be praying that we will be more holy and that we are more committed to the Lord Jesus. Isn't that true? You know, the only thing that will sustain and bolster is prayer. It's not your offerings. It's God. We need to pray. Verse 5. Because each day many Christians is subjected to some temptation or trial. And though it may be unknown to us, yet our prayers may benefit him. Sometimes what God does is that when you're going through something, and then another Christian just so happened to, I think I better pray for this brother. The Holy Spirit does works like that. Of course we don't go into all this, you know how this happened, and looking at all these. And I think the Pentecostal, the charismatic movement like to do that. But you know what? In the working of the Bible, God does do that. God does prompt people to pray at certain times for certain people in certain trials. And you may not know if it comes to your mind and is to pray for someone, to spend that 10 seconds or 30 seconds and just pray, God, I don't know why I'm praying for so-and-so that he'll be here or so-and-so that you take care of him, whatever he's going through. Lord, I don't know what he's going through, but just been led to pray for him. Okay? So as we close, the question I will ask is, how much do we pray? You know, as I'm teaching through this, I believe many of us know this, but how much do we really pray? And as a church, how much do we pray together that we can actually see the blessings of God? These lessons have been taught many times in prayer, and probably when you come and say, okay, yes, lesson on prayer. You know, my heart as pastor is, let's not just listen, let's just practice. Because prayer in actual fact cannot be learned. Prayer in its real essence can only be practiced. And I hope that for us as a church we understand that. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time as we reflect again, Lord, on praying. Not all of us just listening. But Lord, I'm praying for your Holy Spirit to burn into us the spirit of prayer. Lord, the times that we think we can just go on in life, Father, I pray that you will bring back the seriousness of prayer in our life. And Father, I pray for everyone here and everyone who is not here. As we partake the Lord's Supper together, Lord, we ask you to prepare our hearts. And Father, that individually and corporately as we pray, that you will speak to us in some way, Lord. I don't know what you have for us today. But God, thy word teach us to pray always with all supplication and all prayer, watching thereunto. Praying for all the saints. Oh Lord, we need you. We need your help. Your eyes closed, heads bowed, we'll just be spending a few moments in silent prayer by yourself. Okay, then after our prayer, then we'll have the church covenant. Okay, let's pray. And then after our prayer, just have about a minute of silence. You pray by yourself, and then prepare your hearts for the Lord's Supper. Then after that, I'll pray, and then we'll continue. Father, we thank you for this time as we pray. Together we confess our sins individually to you. To prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper, Lord. We know that we cannot partake this Lord's Supper with hands that are unclean. With hearts, Father, with unconfessed sin. That we will regard iniquity in our hearts, O God, forgive us. Lord, help us to reflect on the things that you have, or on the conviction you have brought into our hearts with regards to things that we should have done, things that we should not have done. Lord, we pray that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness individually. Lord, as a church, as we come in unity, both in doctrine, in faith, in love, Lord, we want to be united also, Father, in holiness. That God, we will collectively know that and understand and believe with all our hearts that we are to shun everything, Father, that would defile. And God, we ask you to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and forgive us our sins, areas that we have done wrong, Lord. Lord, we don't even know about sometimes because of our ignorance. But I pray that thy Holy Spirit, Lord, will persist in working with us, Lord, to preserve the purity of your house. Lord, as we reflect on the cross, the Calvary, Lord, the blood that was shed, the body that was broken, even though we don't deserve it, Lord, you gave of your best to save us from hell. You save us from sin that so corrupts, Lord, everything it places its hands on. Lord, thank you for the deliverance from sin and eternal death. We thank you, Father, for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that washes away all our sin, that binds us together, Lord, in your love. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do even as we partake the Lord's Supper in remembrance of all that you have done. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.